Well, good evening and welcome to Christchurch Banstead. My name is Daniel and I am the assistant minister here. Tonight we are continuing our series in John's Gospel. So we're looking at the seven signs in John's Gospel. And tonight we are in John chapter 4. Please do grab a Bible and turn with me to John chapter 4. So we're in John chapter 4 and we're looking at verses 43 to 54. So verses 43 to 54. After the 2 days, Jesus left for Galilee. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay ill at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. "Unless you people see signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you will never believe." The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies."
"Go," Jesus replied, "your son will live."
The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday, at 1 PM, the fever left him." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Allow me to pray for us. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would help us now to concentrate on what you have to say. Help me to speak clearly and faithfully to your word. And we pray that thinking about these words today, thinking about the words of your Son, the Lord Jesus, that we would believe in him. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I can hear some, again, my neighbor seems to be watching a movie. I can hear some sound effects. Seems to be an action movie, bomb blast, machine gun. So if you hear any of that, I promise you it's not me putting that on at the background to add some drama to my talk. It's just a coincidence if you do hear it. I hope you can't though. On Easter Sunday, we looked at John chapter 20 together, in which John gives us the purpose for writing his biography of Jesus. He says, "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." What was John's gospel? What was John's goal in writing this gospel? That you and I would believe that Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus is the Son of God, and thereby have eternal life. What's on offer and therefore also at stake is nothing less than eternal life. And if believing in Jesus is necessary for obtaining eternal life, then we need to be clear as to what believing in him means, don't we? How does John help us to understand what belief is? It's helpful first to understand or to consider how he's structured his gospel. Now, in case you're thinking, Daniel, I don't really care about the structure of a Bible book and are tempted to switch off, please don't. Knowing how John has structured his gospel will really help us to understand what he's communicating. So here's how the structure of John works. He uses the signs that Jesus performed to delineate his sections, with each one starting with a sign and ending with a complementary one. So chapters 2 to 4 start and end with a sign in Cana. Chapters 5 to 10 start and end with a sign on the Sabbath. And chapters 11 to 20 start and end with the sign, with the resurrection. So first, the resurrection of Lazarus, and second, the one of Jesus. So John's contents page would look something like this. Chapter 1, prologue. Chapters 2 to 4, Cana signs. Chapters 5 to 10, Sabbath signs. Chapters 11 to 20, resurrection signs. Chapter 21, epilogue. Now the signs in John are there to teach us something about the gospel. To help us understand this, I want us to imagine that each section is a sandwich. So John's gospel is one big triple sandwich in which the signs are the pieces of bread and the content in the middle is the filling. The signs, like the pieces of bread, are there to support what's in the middle. So the signs aren't actually the most important bit. Just like in a sandwich, the bread is often not the most important bit. Imagine I asked you, would you like a sandwich? And you replied, it depends. What sandwich? To which I replied, it has two slices of bread and something in the middle. How is that going to help you? It's not that the bread doesn't matter, but you really want to know what's in the middle. What's the filling? Is it ham and cheese? Is it a BLT? Is it prawn mayo? Similarly, when we consider the signs in John, we need to be asking what the filling is. What's the filling of chapters 2 to 4, the section we're in? The heart of it is chapter 3, verse 16. The most famous verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That verse is calling us to believe in Jesus. Belief is the flavor or the filling of the sandwich of chapters 2 to 4. And what's the flavor of the other two sandwiches in John? All of his sandwiches are based on his mission statement that I started with in chapter 20. So while the flavor of chapter 2 to 4 is belief, the flavor of chapters 5 to 10 is Jesus is the Son of God. And of chapters 11 to 20, that Jesus is the giver of eternal life. So that's the triple sandwich that John has prepared for us, with each covering an aspect of his mission statement. Back to today's sandwich. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? What does believing in him look like? We need to define, we need Jesus to define what belief is. Otherwise, we could interpret it in many ways that he never intended for us to. So our question for tonight is, what kind of belief does Jesus want? Or what kind of faith does Jesus want? Belief and faith are the same word in the original, so I'll be using them interchangeably this evening. Our passage contrasts two kinds of faith: sign faith and word faith. And it starts with sign faith. We got it there in verses 43 to 45. Verse 43. After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they had also been there. Why did the people welcome Jesus? They saw all that he had done. They saw his signs. By the way, did you notice how verse 45 seems to contradict verse 44? In verse 44, we're told that Jesus said that a prophet is not honored in his homeland. But in verse 45, it sure seems like he's being honored. So is this a contradiction? Turn with me to chapter 2, verse 23. And as we read those verses, look out for why Jesus is skeptical of the people's belief. So chapter 2, verse 23. Now while Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. Why were the people believing in Jesus back in chapter 2? They saw his signs. Why are people believing in Jesus here in chapter 4? Also because they saw his signs. But Jesus isn't looking for a faith based on signs. That's our first point. Jesus doesn't want sign faith. Look with me at verse 46. We're back in chapter 4 now. So chapter 4, verse 46. And notice how Jesus responds to the man who asks for his son to be healed. Verse 46. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay ill at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. I wonder what you make of Jesus' response. It seems quite rude and abrupt, doesn't it? This official has come to ask Jesus to heal his son, and it sounds like Jesus is having a go at him. What's Jesus doing? This man is desperate. He asks Jesus again in verse 49, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Surely Jesus will show compassion and go with him, right? Look with me at verse 50. "Go," Jesus replied, "your son will live." Jesus rejected the man's request again. He would not go to his house. But he did promise that his son would live. Now, why did Jesus not go to the man's house and heal his son? If he did and healed the boy in front of loads of people, many more would come to believe in him, right? But what kind of faith would they end up having? Sign faith And that's not the kind of faith that Jesus is looking for. Jesus is warning the man and the crowd that sign faith isn't saving faith. Sign faith isn't the type of faith we're called to in chapter 3, verse 16. Now we might wonder, what's wrong with sign faith anyway?
Imagine Jeff, a cousin of yours from America, were to visit the UK for the very first time. I know that's hard to picture right now, but for the sake of this illustration, please try to. So Jeff arrives and you, of course, offer to show him around London, and he gives you a list of the places he most wants to visit. And at the top of the list is none other than St. Paul's Cathedral. So the next day you catch a bus to make your way there. But on the journey, every time you go past a road sign that points to the cathedral, Jeff asks if you can get off the bus. He then stands by the sign for 10 minutes and simply admires it. After that, you return to the bus stop and catch the next bus. And this process repeats itself. You end up stopping 7 times on the way to the cathedral. As you arrive, you can only imagine how excited he's going to be when he sees the actual building. I mean, if the signs alone were getting him so pumped up. But when you arrive, you notice that he barely looks at the building. Instead, he just keeps looking for more signs to it. And this, of course, baffles you. So you ask him why he's not looking at the cathedral. And he replies that he just really loves signs. What would you think? You'd probably think, man, I have some weird cousins. Why is he staring at the signs when he can actually observe the incredible architecture? And even go inside it and go up to the famous Whispering Gallery. You probably feel like it was a bit of a wasted trip. Being obsessed with the signs to St. Paul's is a bit like being obsessed with Jesus' signs. Just like the signs to St. Paul's aren't meant to be the focus, but the cathedral itself is, Jesus' signs aren't meant to be the focus, but he himself is. Signs are merely intended to serve as pointers to something else. That's their function. Because Jesus is not looking for people to be fascinated with his signs, he chooses not to go to the official's house. But that doesn't mean he leaves this desperate man hanging. He tells him that his son will live. How does the man respond? Verse 50. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. That could be translated as, the man believed the word that Jesus spoke. The man believed Jesus' word. That's the kind of faith Jesus is looking for. Jesus doesn't want sign faith. He wants word faith. That's our second point. Jesus wants word faith. So this man is shown to have word faith. What happens after that? Look with me at verse 51. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday, at 1 in the afternoon,
the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and his whole household believed. Jesus healed the man's son. He miraculously saved a boy who was on his deathbed. And how did he do it? He did it by speaking a word when he was 20 miles away from the house the boy was in. Of the seven signs in John's gospel, this is the only one that is done remotely. Why is that relevant to us? You and I don't have Jesus physically present with us right now. He's present spiritually, but he's not present physically. As I mentioned earlier in chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus promised that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Whoever includes us. Just as the man believed Jesus' word to him that his son would live, we can believe Jesus' word to us that we will live. If we believe his word, we will have the eternal life he promises. Jesus will fulfill that promise. When you first read this passage, it seems like Jesus is being unkind to the man in refusing to go to his house. But not going was the most loving thing Jesus could have done for him. Jesus loved him too much to go. Jesus loved him too much to allow him to merely have sign faith. Jesus wanted him to have word faith because only word faith saves. And that is exactly the kind of faith the man came to have. The end of verse 53 says that the man and his whole household believed. The kind of belief implied there is not a it's not an "I believe Jesus can perform signs" type, but a John 3:16 type. "I believe Jesus is the Son of God and will give me eternal life" type. If you're a Christian, I hope this passage encourages you to keep believing in the Son of God's words. His words about who he is, his words about the eternal life that awaits you. If you're not a Christian, I hope that you'll listen to Jesus' words and take them seriously. Someone once told me that he'd asked God to show him a sign to prove his existence. In fact, he said that he'd given God many such opportunities, but that God never responded. So he concluded that God didn't exist. Another man I chatted to once told me that he doubted God's existence, but then that God gave him a sign and showed him that he's real. But despite believing in God's existence, this man was not trusting in Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Sadly, he only had a form of sign faith. So I want to challenge you. If you're looking for sign faith, please don't. It's not what you need, and it will never be able to save you. You need word faith. You need to believe in Jesus' words. So I encourage you to read them and study them. And I hope that by doing that, you will come to believe them so that you can have eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus' words. We thank you for how he shows us the kind of faith he desires. Thank you that we can trust his words. Thank you that if we trust his words about what he says about himself and about eternal life, that we can have eternal life, that we can live with him forever. Help us to believe this. If we are already believing it, help us to continue to believe it. Strengthen our belief. And if we are not yet believing it, Father, we pray that you would help us to believe it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. I hope you'll have a blessed week. Take care.